This is the Brave New Coin Crypto Conversation, hosted by Andy Pickering.
Hi everyone, Andy Pickering here. I'm your host and welcome to the Crypto Conversation, a Brave New Coin podcast where we talk to the people building the future in the Bitcoin, blockchain, and cryptocurrency space. Good news, team. We have an exciting new sponsor here at the Crypto Conversation, and well, they are perfectly positioned for today's changing investment environment. Because with market volatility so high and the expected returns for stocks and bonds so low, I tend to agree with the analysts at JP Morgan who have declared that alternative assets are no longer optional. And that is good news for those platforms who can provide access to the top alternative asset classes like Masterworks. Yes, Masterworks.io has solidified itself as the platform for investing in contemporary art. And Masterworks is on a mission to democratize art investing, which is a 1.7 trillion asset class. How do they do this? Well, Masterworks is the first platform to make it possible to purchase shares that represent an investment in multi-million dollar artworks from iconic artists such as Banksy, Kors, and Basquiat, all at a price point tailored to you. And since 2017, Masterworks has sold a number of iconic artworks, with each returning over 30% net IRR to investors. Legally, I have to follow that with past performance is no guarantee of future results. Now, if you want to get in early, just go to masterworks.art/cryptoconversations to skip their waitlist. That's masterworks.art/cryptoconversations. And you can see important Regulation A disclosures at masterworks.io/CD. And now it's on with the show. My guests today are Stephen Braverman and Kent Swigg. Stephen is the CEO, and I believe Kent is chairman. We're talking about Dignity Gold. This is going to be an interesting one. Welcome to the show, Kent and Stephen.
Thank you so much.
Well, to begin with, gentlemen, we'll do what we always do at the beginning of the show. Kent, let's start with you. If you could please just introduce yourself. Love to hear just a very quick bit of background on who you are and what you've been doing in the lead up to Dignity Gold. And then Stephen, we'll do you afterwards. Kent, hello.
Okay, and hello to you. Thank you. It's a pleasure for us both to be here. And I'll give you a little background. I born and raised in San Francisco in California. I moved to New York in 1987, and primarily I've had my business career in the real estate business, including investment and development of commercial office buildings, hotels, and residential buildings as well. I happen to own a lot of operating companies. Helmsley Spear is in the commercial field. Brown Harris Stevens and Halstead are in the residential field, and have been involved with the cryptocurrency with my partner, Steve Braverman, for about 3 years now.
Very nice. Thank you, Kent. Hello, Stephen.
Hi there. So I am a New Yorker that has switched sides of the country and moved to LA about 7 years ago. I spent 30 plus years on Wall Street, mostly in the trading area. I ran Knight Capital Group. Before it was Knight Capital Group, it was called Knight Trimark Securities. And, you know, my background is mostly from Wall Street. I got into cryptocurrency in 2017, right before, you know, the big moves in Bitcoin and Ethereum. And fell in love and really became a Bitcoin maximalist. And, you know, Kent and I decided that we had an opportunity to do something really well in the space and professionally, and a little bit different than what was happening in the space, you know, prior to us getting involved.
Awesome. Okay. Well, look, let's talk about that then, Stephen. So keep going. How do you and Kent know each other, and what was your your big idea? What did you want to do in the crypto space?
Well, I known of Kent for a very long time. It just happens to be married to a friend of mine from high school. And I worked with her brother for many years on Wall Street. So we've been at functions together. And I think it was around 2018 that we started talking about getting involved in cryptocurrencies together. And, you know, the idea really came from a project that had been out there that didn't do so well. But it was the idea really came because cryptocurrencies, the way they were, they're all networks, but they're traded like public companies. And I wasn't able to really grasp where the value came from. And I just felt that having a cryptocurrency that actually had some real backing behind it, like gold, was a really fabulous idea, because at least you know what you're getting when you're purchasing, you know, something that has real backing and asset backing.
I guess, you know, Andy,
purchasing other cryptocurrencies, they're networks. So they may have value, but exactly what do the owners of the token receive? Now, obviously, in the last 5 years, you know, things have changed. And with DeFi and so on, that there are certain tokens out there that people actually receive, you know, something. But it's really hard to predict what's going to happen in the future. I like Bitcoin because it seems to have become a real store of value. But it's also just a network technology. So there's nothing really behind it other than the technology. And I'm not saying that there's anything bad about it. I love it. I love Bitcoin.
Yes.
One of the things that Steve and I brought is a new way of looking at a new industry, right? So the industry is establishing itself and growing, and clearly a multi-trillion dollar industry right now being the cryptocurrency market. I think what Steve and I have done, and I'll go into specifics in a moment, but on a general basis, is we have tried to demystify the industry, and we've tried to bring stability and predictability and transparency to the industry as well. So we have formed Dignity Gold, which has 3 billion tokens in our first token, which is called DIG AU being the periodic table element for gold. And what we've done is rather unique in the industry. Number one, we're United States based. We're both of us United States citizens. We both pay United States taxes, and we're very comfortable being US citizens, and our company is based in the United States. Secondly, we felt that there's a need for transparency in the operation. So going on our webpage of dignitygold.com, one sees all our attorneys. One sees our accountant, one sees our investment banker, one will see our board of advisors and our other professionals. So we have brought a professionalism to this marketplace. We have offices in New York City. We have CFO, controllers, we have accountants, et cetera, just like other typical industries. The next thing that we did is that we felt it important to have real backing. So we have in the United States, we have seven mines that we have UCC control over, and we have two mines that we own outright with no debt. Those mines that we own have over $200 billion of precious metals in them, and gold, silver, platinum, and other rare earth minerals. And we have pledged $6 billion of real solid gold asset backing our Dignity coin. And then we took the step even further, and that is that we went to the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission in the United States, and we voluntarily filed last year to be one of the first tokens that actually have SEC filing. And then because of that, we brought in another element, which is demystifying and taking away some of the secrecy of what what the cryptocurrency world has done. And that we've done where you, if you get your token, then Lord forbid you lose your password. Just like if you lose your stock certificate with IBM, what does IBM do? They reissue a new stock certificate. So with us, because everything is registered, if you lose your password, we'll burn those tokens and we will reissue those tokens to you. So it doesn't take geniuses to keep everything together. We're dealing with the average human being and investor who is still bright, but doesn't have to memorize a 21-word algorithm in effect to come out and keep their token alive. So I think we've brought a new element of that. The last piece is that we've linked ourselves with an investment fund that we're putting together that will actually offer dividends to the token holders that own our token. So I think what we've done is blended the best of the public enterprise of Wall Street with the new and huge industry of cryptocurrency.
So, yeah, well, thank you, Kent. It sounds like you guys are actually, there's a blending of the crypto asset space, the traditional Wall Street space, but also very much the precious metals industry, particularly gold. So, as I understand it, Dignity Gold, you describe as a blockchain development company that is creating securities tokens, which just means SEC compliant, really, doesn't it, in the US, to establish investment opportunities into the US precious metals, mining, and minerals sector. So it's quite a lot to take in, but quite a fascinating concept, gentlemen.
It is indeed, I think that there's an enormous opportunity in the crypto business, and I think that there's a lot of mythic things that go on there and understood information. So, bringing really good, strong investment product to the table that verifiable and transparent, really, I think, is the calling for where this industry needs to go. So if you look at people who are making an initial investment, you look at some of the family offices that would love to have a cryptocurrency investment, but just can't quite get over the fact of not having the information that they do in their typical investments, whether it's stock and bond portfolio. We're bridging that gap and gaining entry and allowing entry, I should say, for major investors like family offices and private companies to be able to stand and see how cryptocurrency can be a great investment for them.
Got it. All right. Well, let's talk about the DIG AU. DIGAU, is that how we say it? So that is I think that's the first token that you guys have issued. So, Stephen, do you want to just talk to what the DIGAU token is, what it represents, what is the investment thesis?
Well, it's very simple. We have pledged $6 billion of the gold that we have, the assets that we have in the ground and in tailings. And we also have already put a substantial investment in a mill and mining facility in Lincoln County, Nevada, which is, pretty much ready to start operations. And what the token really is, it's we're guaranteeing people that we have these assets and they are backing the token. So it's a very simple thesis. It's when you buy Dignity Gold, you're buying, an actual mining operation that has real assets coming out of the ground.
And well, let's hear a bit more.
And one of the interesting parts of why we have decided to do this is because it's in the gold industry. There are the big boys, which are, Barrick and Newmont, and, they have large operations. And then, you have a bunch of mid-size operations that have a very difficult time getting funded. but they do have a significant amount of precious metals and rare earths in the ground. So I think that part of what we want to try and accomplish is to be able to be a fundraising source for those middle-sized companies to be able to actually get into business and start operating. And that's, you know, one of the areas that we expect to be able to grow in, because, you know, we want to be able to finance or fund some of these mid-sized companies, have them pledge their assets to us, and, you know, and have it increase the backing of our token over time.
Got it.
And we do expect to do this with silver, platinum, palladium, and many other rare earths that we actually get from the mining operations.
And Kent, tell me, with the DIGAU token, then, so you guys talk about how this is backed by, I think you said, $6 billion worth of gold in these mines that you guys. I'd love to hear more about those particular mines. Where are they? And also, what does the DIGAU token, does it track the price of gold, or is it tracking the value of these particular mines? How does that work?
It's $6 billion of gold, which we have put forth, which equates to $2 per token of the 3 billion tokens that we have for the DIGAU token.
Got it.
If gold goes down, then we will be pledging more gold, because we're pledging an amount of gold, not just a fixed dollar amount. So it mimics, if you will, a stable coin, but it's certainly not just a stable coin, because we have all the upside going forward of a regular token in the crypto industry. Plus, we've also put forth, so we've put a floor, if you will, on valuation by putting forth real hard fixed assets and gold against this token. So that should stabilize the token at a certain value. The upside, of course, is enhanced, because you've got regular upside of the cryptocurrency industry, plus the fact that we've got a corresponding investment fund that is being put together that will be able to provide dividends for people. So it's combining the best of public enterprise with Wall Street under regulation with the best of the cryptocurrency world. Now, where the mines are specifically is that we have two that we own directly, roughly over $214 billion of precious metals there. And those are in Nevada. And then there are seven other mines that we have a uniform commercial code filing on, which they call UCC. And those are located in Arizona and Nevada and a little bit in Colorado. So we have two sets of mines that back our gold. The value of them is over $500 million. $500 million, $500 billion of precious metals that we have. So as Steve said, we're looking forward to issuing a new token, which would be silver backed, and moving forward. And I think it's an interesting industry for us to be in, not only just the crypto industry, and it's not only investment industry, but what we're doing is we're providing a mechanism for liquidity and monetization of the mining industry, because many people have mines around and they don't have the liquidity or monetization ability to be able to start harvesting all this wonderful precious metals. So we're providing a mechanism to be able to do that.
And I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on, I suppose, the precious metals markets in general, certainly gold, also, you know, silver, palladium, whatever else you guys track and are interested in, you know, because traditionally you'll be very aware that, you know, in the more hardcore crypto circles, I suppose, there's almost a generational divide, you know, there's gold and precious metals are seen as, reasonably safe, traditional investments, you know, used as a perhaps a store of value. But if you're looking for the more aggressive appreciation, then people are going to go, well, they'll start with Bitcoin and then they'll gradually go further out into the altcoin, and the risk curve just gets steeper the further out into the altcoins you go. How do you guys think about all this?
Well, you've said it perfectly. You described it exactly perfectly. And what we've done is we've blended the two together. So for instance, we're in clearly an inflationary period of time in the world, right? So what do people do as a hedge against inflation? Typically they buy hard fixed assets, whether it's precious metals, real estate, art, precious stones, diamonds, jewels, etc. Those are good hedges against inflation. And what we've done is we've provided a hedge against inflation because we have actual precious metal backing, in our case, in the first token, $6 billion of gold, which is a wonderful hedge against inflation. And yet at the same time, you've got an unlimited upside with the cryptocurrency that's available. So we have blended both, you know, a secure, safe investment with upside potential. So you can reap some of the benefits of inflation if it occurs because of the valuation of crypto, and at the same time hedge yourself against it because you've got precious metals. It's a very unique program of investment. And best of all, it's made clear and transparent because of the way we've structured ourselves.
That's quite a neat trick if you guys can pull it off. You know, as you say, you're essentially predicting the downside by providing that hard asset-backed floor, but getting a potential much greater exposure to the upside as the crypto market continues to evolve.
Let me say one thing. If we could have pulled it has happened. We own and control the mines in Nevada. $214 billion owned, controlled, deeds of trust, no debt. The 3 billion tokens are issued and out there to investors. And so it has happened. The only thing that is pending right now is the process of going through the SEC, which we have filed, and we're in the process of going through that approval process. But otherwise, the tokens are out, they've been issued, the gold is real, the backing has happened, and it's all verified. So whether it's accepted well into the marketplace or not, that's an if. But in terms of achieving what we've said we've done, we actually have achieved this.
Got it. So let's talk about the target market for this then. So I imagine the token is available on various exchanges, and you did talk about family offices and so on. So I'd love to understand exactly who the target is and who is able to participate in this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the simply put, we believe that we are an institutional product. I think that there is a significant amount of interest for institutions to be able to invest in the precious metal sector without having to pay the high premiums of the futures markets, and without having to worry about delivery and insurance on the actual precious metals, because all of that happens on our end. So the investor reaps the rewards of the increase in price with our tokens, without having any of the expenses of holding on to actual gold. I mean, if a BlackRock wanted to buy $1 billion worth of gold, they'd have to insure it, they'd have to move it to their vaults. It's an expensive process. So in order to do that without that expense, they can just own our token. So that's number one. I think that it is also good for the retail investor because there are so many people that don't know how to purchase precious metals and don't know, how to store them or what the best thing to do is. And now it's very simply, they can buy it on the blockchain and keep it in their private wallet, and they have their exposure to the precious metal market. So I think we have a lot of potential investment groups, for our tokens.
You mentioned one thing, Andy, the generational review of sort of cryptocurrency versus old world investing. And I think that we've been able to blend both. So if you look at multi-generational family wealth in America and around the world, for that matter, and typically you find that a lot of this wealth is transferring from one generation to another. Younger generations tend to be a little more crypto friendly and interested because it's an up and coming thing. And then you have some older generations that just don't understand how it works, and they don't understand, you know, the valuations of them. And both generations, the younger ones and the old ones, are accurate. It's hard to understand and review what valuations of some of these cryptocurrencies are. And at the same time, the young generation feel they don't see the stumbling block as much because they're a little bit more aggressive. So we've put forth the blending of both. We are a very friendly investment vehicle. So understandable. So for the younger generation looking to go into the crypto world and trying to get their next older generation to come in and understand it, instead of this mystery and, if you will, you know, like a deer caught in headlights, like Bambi, right? You just freeze and you don't know what to do. We're a company that is allowing and nurturing and encouraging older generations to come in because it's identifiable and it's verifiable and it's made easy to understand. And this huge, scary feeling of, gee, if I ever lose my password, I'm out of all of my investments, that has been eliminated, right? If you lose your bank account, you know, password at Chase Manhattan Bank, they don't keep your money. You get a new password through verification, just like us. If a password, Lord forbid, is lost, we re-verify you and we get you your token and give you a new password. And if you could demystify that and take away these elements that make it for people who make people feel that they're uncomfortable to make the investment, by then you've opened up an entire new world of investment opportunity for people, because you're starting to speak in their language.
Yeah, absolutely. I very much understand that solving that custody solution for people, because let's face it, most people don't necessarily want that headache of storing their own private keys and being responsible for their assets. Just in case something goes wrong, it is good to have that backup. But I mean, you know, this kind of institutional access or adoption to crypto as an asset class, it really is starting to happen. I mean, people have obviously been talking about the institutions are coming. That has been a meme really since 2017. But while we still don't have that, that elusive spot-based ETF in the US, seems to be, perhaps that's just a matter of time now. But I was interested to see, I think Fidelity announced this week that they're going to enable financial advisors to add Bitcoin to those Fidelity managed funds and portfolios in the US sometime later this year. You know, that alone seems like a pretty positive signal for the wider crypto market, gentlemen.
I agree. Yeah, in 2017, institutions were really not involved. There were some, like, you know, Mike Novogratz, you know, he was one of the first to really start playing in the crypto space. But it's really morphed over the last 3 or 4 years, and institutions are definitely involved and they're getting more and more involved. And as you can see with the price of Bitcoin, you know, going from $3,000 to, you know, $69,000 last year, it's obvious that's happening. And I think it's going to continue to happen in the future. And, I believe that, eventually the crypto space will be, on par with the stock market and the bond market and other, you know, major investment spaces. And obviously regulation is coming, and we wanted to be on the forefront of that, which is why we are filing, you know, with the SEC because, you know, we took a regulation forward approach, and that is something that we want to happen. We asked for it to happen. So that's, you know, that's why it's taken us a very long time to get this process going. And, you know, we brought in the best accounting firms and investment banks to help us along the way. And, you know, and we've done it. That is where we're at right now.
Got it. All right. Well, let's start to finish off, gentlemen. What is next for you guys at Dignity Gold? Love to hear anything, any hints about what is next in the product pipeline, the roadmap. What are you working on? What boxes do you need to tick? I'm sure there's a lot going on at all times.
Two or three things. Go ahead.
Yeah, Ken, you could start.
No, you go. I'll go, and then you go. One is we've got a new token, and that will be out. Will be a silver token, and followed by others. And secondly, I think it's maximizing the value of the DIG AU token now, which is, pardon me, exploring more platforms and exchanges to be able to access our token and to be able to purchase our token. And then also it's finishing our filing with, we filed with the SEC, but finishing the approval process with the SEC.
And what's the timeline on that expected to be? I know it's like, how long is a piece of string, but.
You know, I'm going to get 6 months potentially, just throwing it out there, and I can't speak on a specific basis that, but we're in the process of going through all of that with them right now and the furtherance of the filing process. So, it depends on the government, of course, and what their response is, but we're hoping within the next 6 months.
Right. So as Kent mentioned, I mean, we're definitely excited about creating more tokens based on the assets that we have. And silver is definitely going to be our next token. And then we'll make some decisions later on whether we want to do, you know, platinum, palladium, rare earths. You know, it really depends on the actual mining. And once we begin that process, we'll see what we're actually getting out of the ground. And then we'll make a determination on what tokens we want to do next. One fun thing that we have done that you may have seen is we have sponsored several NASCAR teams. And right now our NASCAR is the Dignity Gold NASCAR is racing in Brazil. And we actually sponsored the event. So it's the Dignity Gold GT Sprint Series in Brazil. Tarso Marquez is our driver in Brazil, and actually he's running the team in Brazil. He hasn't driven in Brazil. He's going to be when we come to the US in July, Tarso Marquez is going to be our driver in the 79 Dignity Gold car. So that's something that's fun for us.
I love that. And that's actually been one of the big narratives, really, of the last 12 months. It's been incredible to see the rise of these, mainstream crypto brand sponsorships of mainstream sporting events. So you've seen, you know, like all these big exchanges and like crypto.com and FTX and so on, kind of branding sports stadiums in the US. The Formula One has got a lot of crypto sponsorship and NASCAR as well. So it's, you really are seeing crypto fast breaking into the mainstream, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Right. And what we've done is, we've taken, Kent says this a lot in our meetings, is best business practices from the United States, from the way public companies run their companies. So that's what we're trying to portray into the crypto space, is really, many cryptos are not even companies. They're just networks and tokens.
Totally.
So you don't even know who you're dealing with. We are telling everybody, we are a company, you know us, we're transparent, and you can find us. And we're using best business practices, and you know, sponsorships is just one of those things that is really good for us to get our name out there for people to really see that we exist and learn more about us.
Awesome. All right, gentlemen, let's close out the show. Just final thoughts from both of you, and also just please tell the listeners where they should go to find out more about what you guys are building at Dignity Gold and how they can just stay abreast with developments.
Okay, so right now we are traded on two exchanges, BitGlobal and CryptoSX. Unfortunately, until we are finished with our filings, U.S. citizens are not allowed to purchase our token. So they're just going to have to wait until we're done with the filings. And, you know, hopefully
they can purchase and won't be able to trade them. They can purchase and hold.
They can purchase through our private placement.
Right.
But they cannot purchase on the exchange.
Correct.
But anyone outside of the U.S. is able to purchase and trade the DIGAU token on CryptoSX and BitGlobal.
All right. And the website, main website, of course, is just dignitygold.com. Well, thank you, gentlemen. This has been excellent. I have very much enjoyed learning about Dignity Gold and what you guys doing. I do wish you the very best of luck. I'll be fascinated to see how all this plays out. All the best, and bye for now.
Thank you, Andy. Appreciate you having us.
All right, there you go. That was Kent and Steve, or Stephen, Kent and Steve, I think, from Dignity Gold. Really interesting model that those guys have got going on. Slightly a different perspective than what we usually have here on the Crypto Conversation. So very much enjoyed that. Hope you did too. Listeners, thanks for listening. That was today's show. This was the Crypto Conversation for Brave and New Kind.